Welcome to the Planning Board meeting on June 4th, 2025. The time is 6:30 p.m.
Meeting of the Acadia Planning Board to order. Please rise, face the flag, and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay.
Roll call. Judy.
Yes, here.
Mark.
Here.
Tim, here. Brian.
Here.
Dave.
Present.
Linda will be late. And Kevin.
Here.
Okay. So before we get going, I want to ask, how many people are sitting here waiting to hear the riveting conversation about the fees that we charge for applications? Raise your hands. That's negative. That's what I thought. So we're going to move the agenda, and we're going to put the Board of Selectmen selling of properties up front so you don't have to listen to that terribly exciting conversation. But stay if you want to. So with that, Boyd, you have the floor.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Boyd Chivers, a selectman, and I'm here on behalf of the Board of Selectmen to brief this board and the audience on a property, on a project that we've recently undertaken. It started with a review of the town report. Every year, we get an inventory of our town-held properties, including all our personal property at the fire department and within this building. Well, that town report arose some curiosity, because on it there's some 50 parcels of land that we couldn't figure out what we were doing with them. So we compiled a list from that report, and we went through there and excluded every one of the parcels of land that's currently being used by the town. This property where this town office sits, the fire department, the school, the library, the pit on Brown Road. I mean, we dug pretty deep, and we went from that number of properties of 40 or 50, we scaled that back down to about 47. And that they look like likely candidates for sale. And then we dug a little bit deeper, and we found some with conservation easements that were previously undisclosed. Well, actually, they were disclosed. Every one of the properties with the conservation easement was identified with an asterisk on the town report, which we failed to recognize the significance of, okay? So those 8 properties automatically came off the list, okay? So we went from a list that was about that long of all unoccupied real estate deeded to the town somehow. It's either by tax deed or by acquisition or bequest. Okay, either we bought it, somebody gave it to us, or we foreclosed the tax lien on it. Those are the 3 ways we got it. So we finally ended up, after a lot of negotiating, we ended up with a list of 19 properties, which you'll see on that map right there. Now, since that we published that map, we have a duty under RSA 4114A to present Conservation Commission with that list of candidates that the Board of Selectmen is thinking about selling, and ask for their advice and recommendation, which they're now preparing a report to submit to the Board of Selectmen. They made a pretty compelling argument that at least 8 of those properties out of the 19 on that list should be excluded from the sale. So I'm assuming that's going to be in their report. So the purpose of this meeting here tonight is to give the planning board the opportunity to review every one of the properties. Now, let me just sidetrack for a minute. We only have an obligation to present to the planning board the properties that we acquired other than through the tax deed foreclosure process. When we foreclose a tax lien on property, the Board of Selectmen have ultimate jurisdiction over how it's disposed of. We don't have to present it to the planning board.
Don't you actually have to, by law, to dispose of it so that if the landowner has money due them,
That's exactly right. That's a Fifth Amendment right that the landowners have. But see, for us to foreclose a lien and hold title forever is really, you're denying that former landowner of his constitutional rights to the difference between what he owes in taxes and the value of the property. The town's only entitled to the accrued and assessed taxes while we owned it, prior to that. Okay? Other than that, everything goes back to that landowner. But when we just sit on it for years and years, somebody's not getting the value out of that property. Okay? That's a very good point. Okay? And I think the auctioneers have cautioned us on that.
Yeah.
So even though
you might be in trouble if you've sat on it for years and years and years, the landowner could come back and say, you know, you sold it for $60,000, it was foreclosed for $5,000, you seized it at $7,000 with, you know, interest and fees, right? And you've now held it and you're holding all the money because you've continued to accrue interest. That's not my problem, that's your problem.
I
can totally see that happen.
Pretty sure we have to pay interest on the amount of what we owe him in the end.
Yeah.
So let me think. Where was I?
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry.
So the planning board doesn't have any right to offer their advice and recommendation on tax deed properties. But the other ones but in order to kind of clean this up, we're offering all the properties to you for your advice and recommendation. That doesn't mean we're going to take it. But at least
it's like a marriage.
But at least you have the opportunity, and I assume that you'll present some kind of support for your argument that you want to keep it. So Judy's right now, the Conservation Commission, is working on theirs. And as I've said, they provided pretty compelling evidence that any of the properties shouldn't be on that list. But she'll take care of that. Now it's up to the planning board to decide. Look at every one of these properties and say, is there a legitimate use for this property in the future? Can the town use it somehow, either for a remote fire station or a school or a gravel pit or something? So now it's up to the planning board to think this thing through. So the whole purpose behind the Board of Selectmen, we're just inspired by the recognition that these are all non-performing assets. Nobody's paying property taxes on them, which is a significant amount of money every year. And you multiply that times the number of years that they've been in town ownership, and you're talking real money, okay? So we'd like to return whatever properties we can that the town has no use for, either conservation purposes or municipal purposes, put them back on the tax rolls, and let them start paying taxes. So that's why we're here tonight.
Sounds good.
So I want to introduce our guest here. This is Weston Sager. He represents New Hampshire Tax Deeds and Property Auctions, the company our board has hired to help us dispose of this stuff.
So Weston, do you want to sit here when I talk, or would you like me to stand?
No, I stand.
Okay, great. as Boyd said, Boyd gave a great presentation there. I'm Weston Sager. I'm a lawyer and an auctioneer. I'm here tonight more in my attorney capacity to help guide and help answer the questions that the planning board may have regarding this process. Boyd made some excellent points about the value of returning these properties to the tax rolls, particularly those that are tax-acquired properties. Because as you pointed out, Chairman, like there is now, as of 2020 in New Hampshire and as of 2023 nationally, I would argue an obligation for towns and cities to either sell a tax-acquired property and return the what's called the excess proceeds, i.e. the proceeds that go beyond what the town is owed and back taxes, interest, costs, and penalty to the former owners and lien holders. Or there's a process, too, for conversion of tax-deeded properties into non-tax deeded town-owned properties, which actually requires a warrant article at a town meeting. So those are the two ways to dispose of tax deeded properties properly. So that way the town is no longer exposed to potential claims from former owners and lien holders saying, well, wait a minute, I'm entitled to the excess value in these particular properties. In addition, you know, Boyd was mentioning that practically, you know, if you're able to get these properties back on the tax rolls generating revenue, that's really very good for the community as well. I'm going to put on my auctioneer hat for a second. Most of the time, properties, particularly small little bits of land, will be purchased by abutting landowners to expand their existing lot. So it's a good way to kind of, for everybody involved, this whole process of selling tax deeded and other surplus municipal properties is not only a really good thing for the community because, you know, it provides more resources to the town, it lowers the tax rate potentially, but also it may be a requirement for those tax deeded properties because there is now a new constitutional obligation to return excess value, regardless of whether the town decides to keep or sell these properties. You know, this is a long list. It's 19 properties. And, you know, I'm really here tonight to answer the board's questions about the process. As Boyd touched on, you know, there's really two processes for towns to dispose of their real estate. One is through RSA Chapter 80, which is the tax deeded process. And in that process, it's really just sending a bunch of notices to the former owners and lien holders and then selling the properties at public auction or another method. Okay. Now, there's also the RSA 4114A process, which, in my interpretation of the code, the New Hampshire code, is for those properties that are not acquired by tax deed. But there is no harm, in my opinion, to have the Planning Board and the Conservation Commission weigh in on all properties, whether they were acquired by tax deed or not. But that's sort of the two ways that towns can go about it. And the RSA 4114A, you know, it's talking to the Conservation Commission, the Planning Board, and, you know, the Board of Selectmen will solicit those recommendations, and then the Board of Selectmen will make their independent determination as to what they ought to do with these properties. But still, getting the input from these different boards, I think, is very important, so the Board of Selectmen makes an informed decision about what they want to do with these, you know, potential, you know, surplus assets, whether they want to sell them, whether they want to convert them and just keep them as open space or put a conservation easement on them or develop them for municipal use. But making sure that they follow the right process throughout this whole thing is really a wise thing to do because, as with many things in the law, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So Candia is doing it the right way by engaging us early in this process so that way we can ferret out problems before they arise. And that way the town is going through the right processes, regardless of whether it's a surplus municipal piece of property or a tax-acquired property. So I'll be here, you know, in the audience to answer any questions you may have or that the public may have, too.
Yeah. Just can you just briefly explain to the public and us how you're compensated, your company?
So I am, you know, a co-owner of New Hampshire Tax Deed and Property Auctions. And I'm an attorney at Sager & Smith, which is a law firm based in Ossipee, New Hampshire, although currently I live in Ware and I'm, you know, working from home. But the way that we're compensated is that we charge the town nothing for our auctioneer services, and then we charge a 10% buyer's premium on whatever is sold. So we will market the properties aggressively to make sure that everybody who may want to bid on the properties will be there on auction day. So if a property, for example, sells for $100,000, the total price is going to be $110,000. That $10,000 will go to us as the auctioneer house. And then that purchaser will also pay another approximately 1% in transfer tax and other sort of, you know, recording fees, et cetera, et cetera. But then the town will get basically from that $100,000 high bid, let's say there's $50,000 in back taxes. This is a tax-acquired property. The town would get their $50,000. $50,000 would then go to the former owners and any recorded lien holders on the property, usually first the lien holders because they're generally first in line. And then that property resumes generating revenue for the town once more. So that's how that works. But yes, I'm not charging anything for being here tonight. And, you know, also I will be, you know, throughout this process answering the town's questions as, you know, legal counsel. That's part of the agreement we had entered into with the town. When we distribute excess proceeds, that money that we spend as attorneys to track down these people, which can often be very difficult, and then to file interpleader actions or draft settlement paperwork, that is a recoverable cost from the excess proceeds. But I'll tell you that that is usually a very modest amount, and we try to keep that number as low as possible because we try to, you know, put back as much money back to the former owners and lien holders as is reasonable. So those are, you know, so there's really two ways, you know, as the auctioneer, as the 10% buyer's premium, and as the attorney, we will make, again, not a lot of money from distributing excess proceeds to the former owners and lien holders.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yes.
I had a question. If we can, are we good to start?
For, on the, like digging into the properties?
Yes. Well, it actually has more to do with the rules, I guess, the... So I'm looking. Okay, so I'm looking at 4114A.
Yep.
And I think it's section 2A says town-owned conservation land, which is managed and controlled by the Conservation Committee under the provisions of RSA 36-A. Now, when I went through town reports, there are 12 properties that actually say that they've been the town has voted on and sent them to the Conservation Committee. So. The warrant says that the selectmen have no authority in that case. So how is that?
I don't think any of these are conservation commission land, are they?
Excuse me. Exactly what he's saying. The town report, if it's been put under the management of the Conservation Commission by a warrant article, the only way you can sell it as a town is to take that, put it on another warrant article, and have the townspeople vote.
So are any of these properties, because I don't know any.
Which
ones.
And the thing is, I was looking at the
I have the list right here if you guys want.
Let me just do a little housekeeping here, so people in the audience know. I mean, this is kind of uncharted territory for us guys. So what I kind of want to do is go through our discussion first, go down through the list of properties, right? And then if anybody from the audience will have a brief audience questions, right? And then we'll go back to us, you know, deliberating on what our final verdict will be. Okay? So bear with us here. We will give you a chance to shout out, but hopefully this discussion that we have no idea where it's going will, you know, lead to good questions and a better understanding for everybody in the room.
Tim, can I ask another quick question?
Sure.
So is it my understanding that if we read a list of 12 items, 12 properties that are on this list of 19, we're going to strike them off this list?
Exactly, and I think we can cut to the chase and avoid a lot of discussion.
Good.
And David, thanks for bringing that up. But as you see, in our town report, the list of town-owned properties and the ones that have an asterisk next to it, it says, properties flagged above are under the management and responsibility of the Conservation Commission as per town meeting vote 1999, 2002, 2004, 2008, and 2015. So once I realized that, I just went over this final list, and I can tell you which ones we can strike off.
Perfect.
Perfect.
I actually even printed out the warrant articles.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, great. So do you want that right now?
Yeah, let's do it right now.
Gonna
let's
make
get them off the list
right
now.
Okay.
Do you mind if I sit? Or?
No.
Oh, yeah, right. Sorry.
No, damn it, you must stand. In the back of the room.
Facing the corner.
And I just want to say some of these are already town forests. We've developed them. We have kiosks. We have a new parking lot that we're going to be taking a community walk on soon. These are important for conservation. So, number one, you can scratch.
So that was in the 2001 town report, Article 31.
Okay. Oh, I like that. If you do that, I'm going to write it down too. So,
well, I can just give you.
Oh, okay.
I'll give you the list.
Now. Okay. Number two, which is the High Street one.
That was 2004 town report, Article 19.
Number three, High Street.
2004, Article 19.
Number four, Donovan Road.
The 2004, Article 19.
Number six, Fogarty Road.
Can we do number five?
We can. I don't have it on my...
Yeah, it was voted on March 12, 2024.
Okay.
And what's the article here? It says, Article 28, to see if the town will vote to authorize the selectmen to formally transfer the management responsibility for the following town-owned properties to the Conservation Committee to be held forever in trust. And High Street lot map 405, lot 042-1, 2.38 acres off of Donovan Road. It passed 631-125.
Oh, thank you. Okay. And then the next one, Fogarty Road.
Fogarty Road, 1999 Town Report, Article 15.
Number 11, Flint Road.
1999 Town Report, Article 15.
Number 13, off Tower Hill Road.
2004 Town Report, Article 19.
Number 14, Hemlock Drive.
2004 Town Report, Article 19.
Number 15, Old Mill Road.
This is a little complicated.
Okay.
So the article talks about lot 067C. I don't see a 067C on the map. There's a 067. And at the same time, we had moved over 082, which was right next to it. So I'm assuming it's the same, but that's maybe that's just a clerical error.
Yeah,
I don't
and
know.
That's a thin strip of land right on, it's actually...
Right along the highway.
Right along the highway,
It's tiny.
Okay. And number 16, Chester Turnpike.
That was 2004, Article 19.
And then the last one I have a question mark next to because number 19, Crowley Road, that was the land that I believe was given to the town with the understanding it would not be developed.
We voted on it in 2025, the election results, Article 28, and that passed 848 to 115.
Was that that lot? I thought there was a lot across the road.
It's...
No, I know which one it is.
Okay.
414-151.
It bounds... It's right on the line, and it bounds...
Raymond,
and another big piece of property. I thought the one, and I could be wrong.
What, I'm sorry, it was Article 26, yes,
and it 2025. Is that, it is that
414-151. Yep.
Okay, that was this past year, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I remember that. I thought that was a piece across the road. Okay.
So those are the ones, and, you know, just a blanket statement from the chair of the Conservation Commission, the asterisks kind of say it all.
Yep. No, that's good. Well, that thins down the list.
Excuse me. Can you just remind us to say them off quick because the injections messed us up.
What's up?
Can you just say the numbers on the live stream?
Sure. Yeah, you bet.
I get confused.
Okay. Yeah, and you probably have to look around. So, number one.
Yeah.
Number two.
Yeah.
Number three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number four.
Yeah.
Number six.
Not number five because you injected five.
Number five, yes.
Oh.
Yep.
Oh.
That
okay.
was the one that was voted on March 12, 2024.
Thank you. So by three of us doing this, we'll get it really right. Okay, so number six, number 11,
yeah.
number 13,
yeah.
14, 15, 16, and 19.
Now, didn't you say 26?
No, that was Article 26.
Oh,
I said Article 28. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So
and
I did.
15 was a question? You got a question about that?
Yep. Yeah, it's because the article says lot 067C, and our tax map doesn't have a 067C. It only has a 067.
Okay. Thank you very much for doing this.
Thank you.
Did you mention number 16, Jordan?
Number 16,
yep.
yes.
Yep.
And then what was that for that?
19.
And these are the ones that...
have an asterisk or are under the conservation.
And
yeah.
name is confirmed. Now.
Right.
Okay. So...
so that leaves seven line items.
And they're all table scraps because the biggest is 0.37 acres.
Right.
And actually, I it's the last one, but our property 18 is actually Foss Memorial Park. We have a flag there. We set up electricity on that flag recently. There's a memorial to, I think it's Vietnam helicopter pilots.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
that's the one the cemetery takes care of.
Okay, thank you. I wasn't sure who took care of it, so I can't imagine us selling that, but... I didn't find anything in any of the town reports say that was deeded or, but I, you know, I only spent a couple hours on this, so.
That's Russ Mallory that takes care of that.
Okay. So, you know, I mean, I looked at every single property on the GIS system and really on the ones that we have left on the list, I made absolutely no comments because they were
small.
Inconsequential.
So I do have a question for the board. I'm new here. So these are lots. These are legal lots.
Mm-hmm.
And very, very, very non-conforming. But if someone were to buy one, I guess they could come to the and try to get waivers for setbacks and such like that. It's just things like that. Is that not correct?
I'm looking at the size of these lots.
I mean, they're pretty damn small.
I don't believe that.
I don't, you know, you can build on a non-conforming lot, but, you know, technically all the setbacks still apply.
Applicable.
Right?
Okay.
Right? So.
Right, 3 acres.
I mean, I can't imagine. Yeah,
we look at the allotments.
And,
yeah. You need to have your side yard, your side lots.
Yeah.
Right, 75, 25, 25, 25.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. And
right.
These lots might not be able
well,
to support.
The biggest
that.
One is 0.37 acres.
Right.
It has to have road frontage, too.
Right. It has to have road frontage, too, yeah. So, I mean, there were pieces on here that I felt development pressure on, especially on the Crowley Road one. But, I mean, you know, what I'm looking at here, I don't think from a planning board perspective. You know, Judy and the select board have other things to look at, but from a planning board perspective, I don't see anything remaining on the list that's exciting.
Can I just get clarification just for my own edification? Under tax deeded, when it says yes, that means that the town has a tax deed claim lien against that property. When it says unknown, we can't sell that, right, until we figure that out.
Not necessarily. And part of the reason why it's unknown is because we have not received any documentation from the town. These, you know, classifications are based on what the tax cards that are provided on GIS say as far as when they were transferred. Some of these properties have no sale history. So rather than say definitively one way or another, you know, in making this these, you know, materials, you know, was about just saying, you know, we need more research. And going into the town's files may clear up a lot of the unknown transfer properties.
Right. Dave, which number was it that was the memorial?
Brown Road.
Brown Road
18.
So should we strike that also?
Yeah, but that's, yeah.
18. Seems.
Yeah, because that has a monument, the flag on it, life and everything.
Yeah.
I know Bob Pike goes there every year.
Bob does take care of that.
Yeah.
He's not the neighbor anymore.
So I'm going to throw it open to public comment if anybody has anything to say. But, I mean, I think we've covered a lot of ground really quickly. But if anybody's got any questions or anything. Oh, you're first, Linda.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
Felix Shepard. As far as the town-owned property and taxes, isn't there a time limit as far as, you know, how long the town has to sit on the property before they can sell it? Why should the town sit on this property for 10 years if nobody stepped up and paid it?
Yeah, that's we talked about that earlier, and we've been it appears we've been kind of lax in that area.
Yeah, but I mean, should the town know that by now if they've owned a piece of property and held on to it for 3 or 4 years, or 5 years?
What I heard is that the town has come into recognition that they are delinquent in this and they're trying to address it. Is that accurate?
Another question. We're supposed to own 50 properties. You guys just eliminated everything on this map that was worth anything. So what was the purpose of this meeting?
Well, I think the purpose of the meeting was to get this through and look at anything that might be left that applies to the planning board. Right? And I think, to your point, the town's trying to clean up this mess of all these properties to make sure we're not, and I'm speaking for the select board here, but, you know, make sure we're not holding properties that we shouldn't be holding anymore.
So I'd like just to add one thing to that. The RSA 4114A requires the select board to go to the conservation committee, the planning board, and
right.
the heritage committee. We don't have a heritage committee, so that's why they had to come to see us tonight and talk about this.
I can understand all that. So how long will it take before we can figure out what we really own and what we don't?
I think we know what we own.
Yeah.
So I think it comes down to there's just those six small pieces of property that, you know, granted there's, you know, always legal stuff to be done and so on, but
right,
do you guys have that to the select? That's okay.
Didn't mean to cut
you off. No. Do you have a time frame? So is the select board planning on meeting their next meeting to discuss this?
I assume we're going to wait to get the report from the planning board and the conservation commission.
Okay.
Once we know all the facts, then we'll convene a meeting to discuss that.
Okay.
And if there's anything we intend to keep, then we're required to have two public hearings under 4114A.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
Yep.
So, Mr. Chairman, looking at that map and listening to your conversation, how many pieces of property on that map are left that the select board could legitimately sell?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Six. So of that map, only six of those big blocks will be left.
Yeah, no, and there's no the big blocks.
In the large
I think you just meant big blocks, meaning
right,
the blocks.
Right.
But
right.
Parcels of land, they're all under 0.4
right.
acres.
So yep. Only six.
Yep.
So what about the pieces that conservation wanted to buy? Where does that come into play?
Well, the other pieces were all already in the conservation commissions. All these things
right.
were struck off the list because they're already
so
in
the
conservation.
So at the previous meeting, when conservation expressed an interest in, I think it was four properties.
Well, basically, I at that point, at our conservation meeting, I didn't realize it was clearly spelled out. And so here
that
I'm trying to do
already
all
were
this.
In
thing.
Charge of those
yeah,
properties.
I was already in charge. We were already in charge.
Okay.
Yeah. And so all of a sudden, it was a clean sweep.
So the town will not be thinking about selling anything to conservation because it already belongs to them. And we're talking about six small pieces that have tax liens on them.
No, they don't. They're not all tax liens.
Mm-hmm.
But most of them are. Only
all
one.
The
only one says on
them. Owned by the town.
They're owned by the town.
Under the care of the Conservation Commission.
Right.
Under their management.
Right.
So the town owns the property.
I'm just
clarifying.
I'm just
it.
Interested in whether or not the town can sell the properties that are under conservation management.
Not
and
without going to a warrant
can.
Article.
Right.
Have to be a warrant article.
I just want to
yeah.
make,
right.
make sure.
Since mm-hmm. since it was acquired by, since it was put in conservation by a warrant article, it has to be taken out of
mm-hmm.
conservation by a warrant.
There's no intention to do that at this time,
right?
Right.
No.
No, no.
Right.
Okay. He answered my question. I was just wondering, Boyd, so do you know how much taxes that would be generated from selling these?
Well, I'd have to do
the math. Oh, you'd have to do the math for the six.
Okay.
Well, if those numbers on Boyd's letter were correct, I think it was 166. Was that not? How did I do that? Sorry. I printed a lot of stuff out, but...
Were those six properties?
Yeah, one of them was the one over near your house across from Old Deerfield Road where next to the bridge. I think it was listed at $70,000, which...
Well, there's several here that, I mean, there's more than that probably, where they're just doing an 80, 95,
Langford Road.
101, 103, 55, 101...
Yeah, 166.
Assessments or tax?
Assessments, I'm sorry.
Okay, that's a
yeah.
big difference.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
a big difference.
It's like 160.
So what we could collect in taxes, we don't know unless it's refigured for the six properties. Oh,
okay. Yeah, so total assessment value is 166. So the outstanding taxes on that would be a fraction.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so... I think
there's a question.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
Mike Yerjo, 12 La Liberté. It's more. I apologize. I forget what your name is.
Oh, I'm Weston.
Weston, good to meet you. What actually is the law? Because I thought it was once you go into tax lien and tax deed, it's a 3-year period that the town has to keep the property, and then they have the right to be able to sell that.
So that used to be the law. So basically the way that it used to work prior to 2020 was that a town could hold on to a property for 3 or more years and keep all of the proceeds generated from the sale of that property.
They had to hold on to
They did
the property.
Not have to hold on to it, though.
Oh, I thought that
was
part
a redemption
of the
period for the former owners to exercise, as well as
That's what I meant
holders.
By having to hold on to the property.
However, there's a major exception to that, whereby a town or city could send what's called a 90-day letter to the former owners and mortgage holders, saying you have 30 days to get back to us to redeem the property, and then you have another 30 days after you contact us to give us all of the back taxes, interest, costs, and penalty that the town or city is owed. And if they fail to do that within that first 30 days, or if they fail to give the proceeds within the next 30 days, then the town or city can proceed with the sale, even if it's within that first 3-year period. So it cuts off that right of redemption that is normally 3 years by default.
Okay, because my other question was going to be, because once that happens and the town takes that property, then obviously the town is responsible for that property, whether it's held insurance liability, all that stuff, because you have to maintain, especially if you have to do an eviction notice. And
yes, the town would have certain costs associated typically with holding on to properties, with insurance, things like that, upkeep if they want to do that, evictions. Those are recoverable costs, I should mention. So that way, if the property sells above a certain amount,
yep,
the town could recoup that proceeds.
But, I mean, let's just say in this situation, none of these things apply.
This is land only.
Right,
this
is
all
this
property.
Is land only, long to long time settled. None of these things apply to what we're talking about.
Because I kept hearing tax lien, tax deed, and that was a question that I had asked a while ago at a deliberative session about what the process was for doing tax lien, tax deed, and I was told that it doesn't happen. So that was essentially my overall question to figure out.
No, you were told, Michael, that the planning board had no authority for making that happen. Yeah. That's what you were told.
No, I asked that.
Yes, that's what you were told.
Because
you thought the planning board had authority on that, and we don't.
Selectmen have the authority.
Correct.
Over tax deeding.
Correct.
That was the question that I asked at.
I don't believe so. You thought the planning board was in charge of that.
Anyway, I mean, I think, that doesn't, none of that interesting info, but it doesn't apply to what we're looking at right now. Does anybody have an issue with any of these six?
No, I think they're going to be hard to market, but.
I think, I guess what we should do is, make a motion that.
Tim, sorry, I saw a gentleman.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
you go.
Okay, yeah, Tom DiMaggio, North Road. Some of these properties border properties that have a landowner that own them. Wouldn't it be to the town's benefit to get a hold of them and give them a break on taking it back?
I think by law, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think by law it has to go to auction.
Yeah.
Well, it... There are exceptions to, if you look at, let me pull it up so I have the exact language. So there's different ways to sell. This is just for tax-acquired properties. I'm not talking about surplus municipal real estate, okay? Is that you can sell it by sealed bid or public auction. But if there is another method, it's called as justice may require, that requires a special finding by the governing body, which in this instance would be the select board, and the statute does mention certain things like a real estate broker selling undeveloped parcels to abutters for consolidation into adjoining lots for the purpose of affordable housing development, preserving open space, or reducing developmental density. And then C, this is the third one, is you can convey it to a former owner. There's all sorts of restrictions there. However, I should mention that the whole RSA Chapter 80, which governs tax-deeded properties, has not been updated since 2020. And so there's this conflict that may arise whereby the town also has an obligation to the former owners to get potential fair market value and rather than just selling it to an abutter. So typically, if you're going to sell it to an abutter, the town would need to come to a reasonable figure, and arguably the town should reach out to the former owners and lien holders, and they would sign a settlement agreement and release that would allow them that sale to occur. Unless it's a particular property that is so clearly has no value,
that's a different situation. Way you should do an auction, and you're not dealing with any of the other stuff.
And anyone can bid at an auction. It's
right.
The way to
but
go,
Tom,
because abutters can bid at the auction as well as everyone else.
I would agree with you, Tom. Most of these lots we're looking at, when I was looking at them on the GIS system, it's like the only person who's going to buy it is an abutter, right? There's one lot that literally is like a tenth of an acre, and it's up against 101. So the only person that's going to buy that is the person who has the property surrounding it. Either that or somebody wants to open up a private rest area on 101.
Put up a sign.
Or put up a sign, yeah.
Well, again, my purpose for bringing it up is that I'm not trying to knock off the auctioneer here, but if you're going to auction it off, you're still going to pay him a fee.
No.
No,
the buyers do.
The buyers do. We don't.
Okay, so it jacks the fee up. But if you give the buyer a deal, it looks like it's a real good deal. Maybe they scoff at it, save a lot of trouble and hassle, and you got your tax money right there.
Yep, that's up to the select board. But, I think most towns do it via auction to keep the up and up and not have any,
underhanded deals.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or the appearance thereof.
Or the appearance thereof, right.
Yeah, go ahead.
Ryan Young, High Street. Is there a minimum at which point it's the auctioneer doesn't pursue it? This might be a silly question. Not to put you on the spot.
It's very interesting.
I guess that's up to them if they think it's any money in it, probably.
Like 0.01 acres on Raymond Road?
I mean, we do sell lots like that all the time, and they often fetch decent value.
Really?
They're only making so much land, so they're not making any more of it.
You roll your dice, you take your chances.
Yeah, I mean, this would be a very modest auction. If these are the only properties that are being sold, then we may lose money on it, if I'm being honest.
Good, Ryan. Yes.
Second question. So once you proceed with it and after the auctions, the town portion of the proceeds, does that go into the general fund, or is it up to the selectmen to vote on, or where does the money go?
That's the selectmen question, right?
I think it's
the
unreserved fund balance.
Well, that's what our goal is, yeah.
Right.
Didn't hear the answer?
The unreserved fund balance.
Okay.
And, yep.
Yeah, hi, Mark Cooper, Hallsville. Just to reiterate some of the comments. So, Weston's?
Yes.
So, your payments do not affect the town's portion. It goes to the old owner if there's any excess money to be recovered by them.
Correct.
Fees and your lawyer fees to them. So it doesn't affect the town at all.
Well, the auctioneer fees do not affect the amount that is generated from excess proceeds.
Understood.
But you have to understand, tracking people down can be very time-consuming and expensive. So we try to always do it as efficiently as possible because the statute does provide for direct distributions. But occasionally we can't find anybody, and then we have to file an interpleader action in Superior Court, which is very expensive and time-consuming and take months or years. So we always try to avoid that if at all possible because, we don't like billing against the excess proceeds. We like writing big, fat checks to people who, were back on their taxes. It's a really fun part of the job.
A nice little windfall for them. You had mentioned a couple things when you had started it. Did I hear incorrectly that you said there's a law that demands that you start getting tax revenue? That the town, so say the town does nothing to this, so they have, how are they going to get tax revenue if they couldn't get it before? Or did I hear that incorrectly? That could be good.
I'm not sure what the
question.
I thought it sounded like what you were explaining was that some laws had changed that is forcing this to happen.
Oh, okay, yes. So, in my opinion, and I think a lot of other lawyers would agree, is that since 2020 in New Hampshire and since 2023 nationally,
mm-hmm.
that towns have something of an obligation to achieve fair market value when selling tax-acquired properties because they should try to generate proceeds and try, you know, like eminent domain, right?
Yep.
Like they have to provide just compensation to the former owner. So they have to negotiate what that amount would be when taking a property for, say, a utility company or a road, right? So the same principles, I believe, would apply in the context of tax-acquired properties that are being sold, is that the town should make reasonable efforts, or maybe more than reasonable efforts, to market the properties and attempt to achieve fair market value. Now, caveat to that is that for a 0.1 acre lot on route whatever, you know, the fair market value of that is going to be quite low. Just because fair market value doesn't mean a lot of money, it just means what the market is willing to pay for something.
Sure.
So at our auctions, we'll sell properties for $100 and $100,000, because it's the same group of people bidding, but the quality of the properties vary greatly.
Understood. And you guys are just trying to get a baseline and get back on to onto the right path, it sounds like us.
Yeah, and I actually, just a point of order that I was just made aware of here. We need to rein the questions back into planning board, and the reason I'm saying that, is there are three select board members in the room.
Oh, true. Yeah.
Right? Which is a quorum, which means, thank you, Mark, for pointing that out, means we can't be talking select board stuff in this room. And so, you know, it was great. You know, it was nice to be able to give everybody a chance to ask questions. But at this point, we have to roll it back in since we noticed that point of order. Okay, you want to leave? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
You might have actually just answered this, but is there a reserve on any of these properties or a minimum to which they're auctioned? They have to meet?
I don't think that the select board has not said anything either in their minutes or in the documentation we received. So my guess is no.
Well, the contract that has been signed is that these properties, I think, will be sold by absolute auction, so there would be no minimum bid. Which in our experience, I mean, it sounds wild, but it actually results in higher values overall because people feel like they're not bidding against the seller, i.e. the town. So that's typically how we do our auctions, and that all but guarantees even the 0.1 acre lots are back on the tax rolls generating revenue for the community.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, at this point, do you guys have a clue of any town property that's actually sellable?
Well,
I'm not trying to be smart.
No, I think in looking
property,
yeah,
in town that is actually sellable right now.
I'll answer that by looking. I looked at each one of these properties, okay, and each one of these properties has the butters
without any headaches. These are all headache properties.
No. I would disagree with that. There are butters to each of these properties. That
right,
would be,
but you just said we're saying that we got to go by contacting the previous owners. You got to put out all kinds of notifications and everything else.
Yeah,
what
but the,
property in town?
But that's not our issue. That's the auctioneer's issue, right?
That's not the point I'm making. The point is these properties aren't worth anything for us to do make any money on. If the town wants to make money, do we have property that's actually free and clear to sell?
That's a whole different conservation of the select board, which we won't go into. but what
that's
I'm
what
saying,
we're talking about, those sellable property.
Yeah,
and right
no,
now,
what we're,
we don't have nothing.
What we're talking about are this is what's before the planning board tonight, are these 19 properties that were identified as potentially sellable. Unfortunately, all but six of them are in the Conservation Commission's control.
And therefore,
so,
and therefore not
let me
sale.
Let me
right.
answer his question. The answer is no.
That's
okay?
Seems like
if you're looking for 20, 30 acres that some developers got, we don't have that.
Yes.
Right, well, that's what I'm saying, but wasn't this all to raise money for the town somehow?
Well, no, the exercise was to clear up town-owned property
okay.
that we have no need for.
All right.
And this is marketable to abutters.
Okay.
And again, it depends on the location of those lots.
Right.
It could be very attractive to abutter to buy it.
Right, to
okay?
maybe gain an extra frontage or something.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
So... But to answer your question, is there anything that's really marketable out there for big money? No.
Well, that's what I was asking.
No.
Yeah. And the other thing is, a lot of it, I think, is just to become under compliance with regulations, right? Which we are non-compliant at this moment.
Correct.
Okay.
And these may, you know, I didn't look at the numbers, the acreage on surrounding lots, but these may take some non-conforming lots and make them conforming. So but there certainly would be buyers, I would think, for almost every lot here. What the price tag would be, I have no clue.
Tyler Frazier, New Boston Road. So somebody is, so now when do we start planning? How do we, okay, we're going to be stuck with these pieces because nobody wants to sell them, or the Conservation Commission doesn't want to, you know, give them up to be sold. How do we go forward and, you know, come up with a plan here at the planning board? Like, where do you start by, like, okay, let's work this land, or let's sell these small pieces. Okay, so you're going to sell that little point acre. Of course, that person's going to pay a little bit more tax, but then that little bit of acreage could push somebody over 10 acres, which would then give them a tax break into current use, which then you'd be losing money at that point. You know what I'm saying? It's like, where do you start drawing the line? You know what I mean? So, let's do something with the land. Let's just don't sit on it. Let's use it because it's a renewable resource. It is going to make us money in some ways.
Yeah, but unfortunately, the biggest piece here is 0.37 acres.
Well, I know that. I'm just saying, like, some of the bigger pieces, like, let's come up with a plan. Like, the town should.
The conservation already said that they don't want to give those up. But you, as a resident, could get petition warrant article and pick out one of these and ask the town to vote to sell it.
Yeah.
Take it out of conservation.
And also,
you can do that.
So do you have to put forth in front of the town, like, hey, let's log this land to make some money and then put it on a program so we can, instead of this just sitting here and doing nothing.
Well, that comes under the Conservation Commission or what they want to do to manage that piece of property.
Go to a Conservation Commission meeting and
basically we're already doing that. We are, you know, doing timber harvests on our conservation land. So it is bringing in money. It will continue to bring in money and probably more money over time because they're not making any more land. And with wise management, it'll always be a renewable revenue coming in.
And one last thing to keep in mind is this is an RSA obligation by the select board to have us hear this. We have absolutely no power to do anything with it. We've gone through the mechanics of this exercise, looked at it, and we're going to provide a report that says what we think should happen, but it's completely on the select board to make a determination. So it was a public hearing for people to hear just what we heard because this is new to us too.
Right, and just to clarify, to follow on what Kevin just said, from our perspective, we're just looking at it from the planning board's perspective, right? That's all we can look at. And when we narrowed it down to what's left, there's nothing here that really affects town planning and the planning board.
There's no meat in the bone.
Right, if these 30 and 50 acre lots and stuff, then we'd have discussion points as to what we want to have happen. But what we got left doesn't really impact the board.
So of the pieces that are left, what's the largest one?
0.37.
Say it again.
0.37
acres.
Seven. Not even an acre.
Okay.
Not even a half.
Not even a half.
Just over a third.
There you go. You guys are good.
Yeah, I think it's... I think it's more like 5/8. Yeah. All right. So can I think what we do here is, unless you
I'd like to make a motion that we send a letter to the selectmen about what our discussion tonight, that of the 19 properties, we feel that 13 of them are should not be sold. And the six that we talked about,
because they're in under conservation,
either conservation or the Foster Memorial Park, which is one small.
Mm-hmm. And the remaining six,
they should go through their due process.
Second,
I would second that.
You got that, Megan?
Mm-hmm.
All right, perfect.
That makes sense.
Do you mind if I just ask one more question?
No, not right now. Judy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Tim? Yes. Brian?
Yes.
Dave?
Yes.
Linda?
Yes.
And Kevin?
Yes.
There we go. All right. So that endeth that section of the meeting. If anybody wants to stay around to talk about the new fees for filing for subdivisions and lot line adjustments, feel free.
Very excited.
Thank you all for coming.
Well, we get excited by it.
We do?
Yeah, I do. Just so you know, that's the stuff
money.
We do the most time.
I get excited by root canals, too.
Hey,
All right.
I don't know off the top of my head. Ron's here.
That's right. Good catch on that.
Megan.
Megan.
It's time to bring another board into our
meeting.
How are you
doing?
All right.
Okay, I'll make a note
of it. Yeah, someone should really...
Yeah, okay.
All right, so I had... I told everybody last week I was going to, you know, make a template type thing of fees and stuff, and then Megan had reached out to Stantec at Amy's instruction, and they provided this analysis for free.
Nice. We like the price tag.
Well, you know, and I actually think there is such a good... There is a thing called a free lunch. So mm-hmm. What they did was they put together in that staple package all of the surrounding towns' information, but they also did a very nice,
mm-hmm.
yeah, totally, yeah.
Chart. And I think, you know, it's interesting. We're
very reasonable.
We are the Walmart of fees.
Yeah.
Yeah, except for Danville.
But like our fee structure that we scribbled some changes to at the last meeting are not reflected on this, right?
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
And we're still a bargain.
We're still a bargain. In fact, I don't know that because like they've got, he's got Candy at $325 for a 3-lot subdivision. Maybe he was summing up some things because I mean we had us in for a minor subdivision at only $75 or at $100.
Right.
Per
no, that was the application fee was $100. Right?
And that includes the site plan review.
It was $175.
Yeah, because we weren't really charging for that. So we added the site plan review, so we made it $175
right.
Last meeting.
Yes.
And we made the major $400.
No.
Right.
Oh, no, $400. Oh,
right. Well, we didn't make it. We discussed that number, right? We haven't made anything. And, you know, so I look and, yeah, Danville's out to lunch. And Sandown, who is basically right next door, is equally crazy in the other direction.
In the other direction.
So I don't know about you, but if I'm a developer, I'm going to Danville. You know, you got Chester is really high for major subdivisions,
yeah.
As is Allenstown. I look at this and I want to, you know, Allenstown to me isn't necessarily a good match for Candy. I think that,
no.
You know, Chester, Auburn, Deerfield, those are probably the good matches for us. Right? And in which case, you know, we're not too far off if we go to the...
Minor's not too bad, but the major's quite a difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the minor, you know, we probably should go up. I mean, we had only said we were going to 175, but we certainly should think about that number going up. You know, by a couple $100, right? Maybe more. I'd like to be playing in the game of the surrounding towns, you know, get like Auburn, Deerfield costing as my take. And on the major, you know what? I'll throw the idea out here that right now it's one cost for a major subdivision, whether it's 4 houses or 40, right? In terms of overhead to the town, there's a big difference between 4 houses
and
40. Now, I don't want to do that stupid thing we saw from Raymond last meeting, which none of us could even understand, but should we think about...
No, that doesn't count impact fees to me.
True.
That's where the impact fees are supposed to be reflected.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is in terms of, you know, administrative time, you know, Megan's time and stuff like that, I'm just throwing the idea out there that should we, and I'm not saying that we kick it up to $2,000 or anything, but do we do a, you know...
I mean, Auburn and Deerfield are the same, so, you know, somewhere closer to them is probably reasonable.
Yep. Yeah, and I'm not pitching an idea. I'm just saying something to think about in your minds. Do we want to do a tier thing, or do we just want to go with a $800 number because that's what everybody around us is at, other than Chester?
Well, with Megan, how much more time would she spend with 40 homes?
A lot more.
A lot more, right? Yeah. So the time is...
Does it scale linearly?
As houses, lots go up, the amount of lots, yeah. But imagine.
Well, I mean, you know...
it's hard for me to say definitively. I haven't seen one front to back yet, unfortunately.
Right. Yeah. But
I'll be honest, I don't think there's enough property in town to do a 48
house. I mean, I just use that as... High Street,
yeah, oh. Coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's different.
Yeah. But and I threw that number out there. I'm just saying, you know, I mean,
that's going to be 55 old. That falls in a whole different ballgame.
I didn't think so.
What are you talking about?
I think it is going to be.
Yeah.
So, you go four course. To nine, be one price, eight. 10 oh. over to.
I know you discounted Raymond's, and do we really want to go there? But.
Yeah.
There's logic. This looks like a pretty linear graph of more houses, this is the amount of money.
Yeah.
So it could be that granular, and it wouldn't be hard to make it that way if that's what we want to do.
I kind of liked the formula because it made sense to me mathematically.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just... taking numbers out of the sky.
Yeah. It's,
there was a justification.
Right, it really is clear.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on the front page, you know, the number of lots is a clear, right, that is a... But I'm playing devil's advocate, I'm just pitching out ideas, right? I'm just saying, but do we want to go that granular? I don't know. Do we want to go?
A couple things. there isn't going to be a huge number of these that come through our office, right? But when they do, they're going to be a time suck. And the more houses, the bigger the time suck. And if we are trying to recoup some of people's brain time, mm-hmm. it would be easy to make it be linear like that. And... You come in with 17, here's the number. Because it's going to take that much more time. And if we have a formula like that, it is, if we spend some time on it, more defendable than, mm-hmm. oh, we threw a dart at the wall and decided it was going to be $800. Right? It's like,
right. Very clear. Yeah.
That's just my thought process. I think we need to be able to defend it. Like I mentioned last time, when we're doing the impact fees, who's the guy from Southern New Hampshire?
Nate.
He's like, you need to be able to defend it.
Yeah.
And I think we need to be able to defend it.
Right.
This one thing to keep in mind, I think I said it before too, is we do have an obligation to provide a service too. So, I mean, everything doesn't have to be recouped.
Right.
Everything's definitely not going to be recouped. I'm trying to lead discussion here because I'm not picking a side on this. I like simplicity, so one number works for me.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that.
We also have I talked about GIS system that needs to be updated. So
I got two
people
things
coming in, you know, developers coming in, that's going to be a big part of it too, is that whole updating system. So we're being charged to update.
I'm adding that, and I made a little template, but I didn't finish it off, so I didn't print it off. But at the bottom of... you know, this thing, right?
Yep.
We're going to have a GIS update that they will have to pay for. Now, I've asked Stantec if they can give it's going to be $300 per lot to update the GIS if they can give us a number. Right. And if they can, great, we'll put that in with an asterisk that says we'll change
subject based on change.
Yep, right.
Yes. Yeah.
And then for lot line adjustment, the same thing, you know, a lot line adjustment will be, and I've no clue because he hasn't gotten back to me yet, will be $100.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be in this pricing list as well, as will the impact fees, because I think we need to put those all on the same page.
Yes.
Right.
Well,
and those
impact fees might be the, well, it's a package, whatever.
Yeah, those two we're going to, we'll asterisk.
Okay.
Because we're going to vote every year to increase them based on the construction pricing index or whatever it's called. Yes.
I just, as a reminder, that might be kind of helpful to find a little bit more wiggle room. Since the previous meeting, I heard back from NHMA's legal team, and we are actually no longer required to put out a public notice in the newspaper. So that just saves the applicant $150 to $165 already.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If that's any help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was trying to get down the...
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was trying to get down the list, and they stopped me. But yeah,
Jumping ahead.
No, but it's, I mean, you know, we this group. Once we start talking, we can't. Mm-hmm.
If you could share just a thought, I hate the idea of feeing people to death, right? Especially small guys. And if we wanted to have a minor be a number,
right,
and major be more, if you figure for a major, you're looking at $500 a foot for a road, right? And if the fee is $21.53 versus $17.83, it's really not going to make a difference.
Doesn't
right?
move the needle. Yeah.
So that, I think, would be a middle ground where we could not feed people to death, but also, because there's not going to be like that many of them.
Right. So if we look at Auburn and Deerfield are really pretty spot on each other. It's like $400 for a minor and $800 for a major. So, you know, this is where I will state my opinion. I think that's our baseline there. Some, you know, 450 and 800, something in that range. I think that's our baseline.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can go
but
fancier and more than that if we went to for bigger developments. But, I mean, I think, you know, I think we're defensible there, right? Talk about being defensible. We're defensible because it's... Because
they did it?
The surrounding towns. Yeah, but, you know, you're in the market, right? You know?
But what if, you know, you see the variable rate, the base rate's 300, but, like, say you get over 9, then it there's staff wages plus 23% roll-up rate. Maybe that's... Anything over 9 would be under that. You know, we'd have to record the time that Megan's, you know, using, and then the town can tack on a little bit because she's going to be very busy. I mean, there's a lot of recording. She's going to have to go back and forth to the record of deeds, right?
Mm-hmm. No, we don't do that.
No, that's all computer now?
Developer does. So that's another one that's coming out, right, is the Mylar fees. That's gone because we don't do that anymore.
Okay, so...
And then the reason we don't do it is because it was a real problem. Because
a lot of them got kicked back. Made another trip, and
yeah,
we got in the middle of.
But does it make sense though? Anything 10 and over would be under that.
I don't know.
I mean, you're talking now. You're starting to get a good sized development.
Problem is, I don't think we've got a way to track time very well. If that's not a current process, we'd be adding a process in.
Mm.
I like the idea, but I don't think it's in the. And how many hours is it that she spends before it goes over the number, right? You know, it's like we'd have to create a baseline and then say once you go over that, you pay, and then she's having to track time. And just saying, I think we're adding a process.
Sort of along what Mark says, instead of doing time or whatever, why don't you just, how about something like for every 5, it's $50 more. Some, you know, I hate to say pittance, but a small amount, try to get some back with an easily calculable number, and yeah.
I don't think that's defendable.
Yeah, I don't know what's...
50, just a random number.
Yeah.
Well, you're right. I did pick a random number, very random.
But the idea, the principle behind it.
Maybe instead of 5, it's 10. I don't know. Maybe,
Yeah, because looking at Raymond's, they add...
It's like 4.75.
Yeah, about $100 per house, something in that neck of the woods, per lot.
But the difference is, Raymond is going to see more of that.
Oh, yeah. And Raymond's under just horrific. I mean, they've got, and we can't forget, too.
Being sued.
Raymond's, but Raymond's got at least 2 full-time staff in the planning
plus
office.
A town planner.
Yeah, okay, so... They've got a significantly different cost structure than we do. We've got Megan who does this, and now she's the building inspector.
No, she's not the inspector. She just does all the processing.
Right, so she's got other responsibilities.
So I hate to talk doom and gloom here, but, you know, as someone who works around the whole state, growth is coming. Mm. Whether we like it or not. It's coming.
Yeah, but you got to have the real estate to develop it, too.
Yeah.
I think if this is something that we can review annually, I think the 4 and the 8 is sufficient for now.
I mean, we can review it annually, but we would have to go through this process again annually for
those
numbers.
Yeah. I'm pretty ambivalent about it. So it really...
Yeah, again,
we could spend a lot of time beating it, and it kind of doesn't matter. So.
Well, and the question is... You know, as we're talking about all this, right? It's like, where does the cost start to increase, right? You know, 4 lots to 6 or 7 lots, is there much of a difference? Where does that number lie? And, you know, how many lots, how many developments other than the High Street one that's coming are we going to get that are going to be over 7 or 8, 9 units?
Right? Today.
Like
10 years down the road.
Yeah, and if we start doing, you know, smaller houses, tiny houses, things like that in town to meet the building needs, then we'll have to
reassess
that, right? So I guess I'm good either way, and I'm not saying that to just be a pansy, but I really am good either way. And I don't think any of us, and again, we're not going to take a vote on anything tonight. We got too much ground to cover.
How do we make a motion for something? Or are we in a motion spot? I agree with you. We're kind of between Raymond, which is a whole different animal, and Auburn and Deerfield, which are very similar.
Yep.
If we pick a point closer to those, Auburn and Deerfield, I'm fine.
Yeah. I don't think we need to make a motion tonight because we want to...
We're still...
We got more line items to go down here, right? So we're just brainstorming now. But I think, again, I guess what I'd put out there in hearing the conversation too is that we should be in that you know Auburn Deerfield area for rates for minor and major, and we'll just keep the discussion point that should we at some number of units have a raise in that rate of some kind, right? So we're not here till 10 o'clock tonight beating this dead horse. Why don't we leave it there?
Did I mention root canal?
Yeah, exactly. So I don't see anything here for the lot origination fees, right? That's another one. When we create a new lot, we charge $75 to create the new lot.
Do we do that, or is that ZBA?
Oh, we do that. I mean, we don't do anything. It's just when we approve the subdivision, when they go in and present that to change the lot lines with the town, they pay $75 per. It's in our costing, you know, in our price sheets.
Yeah.
But we don't get involved in it.
Does that go in the notes?
I think they have boundary adjustment. Is that what?
Yeah, we're going to get to boundary adjustment in a minute.
Oh, that's not the same as lot
Yeah, I'm going down. I'm going down our list.
No, that's
okay.
Creating
I'm just comparing
a lot.
This
yeah.
boundary.
That's
just
creating a lot.
That's creating a lot.
Right.
Love
so,
oh,
like
okay.
you know, what we just did Diamond Hill, right?
Yeah.
Well, when Bo Cooper came in, he wanted to parse off. If he had land, he wanted to parse off a lot. We have to create a lot.
That's $75.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, that's been around a while. Do we want to change that? I mean, I don't know what the. What the labor involved is, we're totally pulling a number out of thin air.
Yeah, who does it?
The tax collector, I think, don't they? Aren't they the ones that do that?
It's definitely not me.
Well, or me.
Perfect. That we got that guy.
All right, why don't we find out who and what they think of that number?
That's mm-hmm. smart.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, engineering review, that's going to stay at cost. Compliance inspections, that's going to stay at cost. So now we get down to boundary line adjustments. And we're in at 50. Chester's at 150. Auburn's at 50. Deerfield says, nah, never mind.
We don't do that.
There's not a lot involved in that. So, I mean, that's
probably a good one to keep.
Yep.
I'm okay with that because now they are going to pay for the GIS change.
Right.
I don't know what that'll be, but that's probably going to be at least $100 or $200 or something that they will have to pay to get that because the town should not pay.
The lot origination fee, I think that's the assessing department that does that.
Okay. So we'll reach out. Do you want to reach out to them, Megan, and see what they say? So, yeah, I mean, I got no troubles keeping the boundary line adjustment at $50. But like I said, we're going to – I don't think that the town should have to pay to update the GIS system for somebody's boundary line adjustment.
Who does – like right now, we're behind in GIS updates, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who does that? Is it Stantec does that?
Correct.
Okay.
So I was going to bring it up later, but since we're kind of freewheeling here anyway.
Part of our maintenance agreement.
Yeah, so they did not invoice us and didn't do anything with last year's budget money of $1,200. We got $1,700 this year, and we actually had a credit with them of like $1,400. So we're getting, what, $4,300
mm-hmm.
worth of GIS work done, and they're starting on it spit spot. Okay. So it's still not going to get us to where we want to be, but I asked them to, you know, concentrate on updating right now, just updating the lots to make sure that the right abutters are on it, right? I mean, that, you know, what good's a GIS and a abutter notification system if the damn names in there aren't right?
Right, if the tax maps don't reflect -C lot because it's 8 years behind, that makes it problematic.
Well,
and Kevin,
the contractor has to go back and do a whole new plan because they missed it.
And that's a fair point that I made with Dan. That, you know, I don't know whether the information they got from us was accurate.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know the answer to that. So once they go through the process, then we'll know whether the information we gave them was accurate or not.
Right.
I mean, we didn't, but the town of Candia did, right? So. Because, you know, shit in, shit out. Okay. legal notification, that is gone.
Mm-hmm.
The abutter notification, I'm going to suggest that we maybe move that up to like, you know, $15 or something. Just make it a round number and keep the asterisk.
Keep the asterisk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Driveway permit at 25, we can keep that. The gravel permit, we don't really do any of those. And then again, we're going to add, we get the fire department inspection at $50. That seems a little low to me.
Yeah.
But we should ask Dean what he thinks.
Ask Dean.
Okay. So now I am noticing here, so that goes down our list here. We did scratch off the site plan review, but again, we're, you know, if I look at the other towns, right, we look at Auburn and Deerfield, right, they charge everybody charges, except us and Chester, charges big money for a site plan review. Now, I don't know if that... You know, the cost to an applicant for what we do for a site plan review is really expensive.
Because yeah, they've already spent the thousands, I mean.
Right. By the time it gets to us to actually do a site plan review, right, it's been run through the ringer at Stantec.
Mm. And Stantec bills.
And Stantec bills the applicant.
The applicant.
Yeah. Oh, the applicant. Okay.
So it really is a pass-through for us. Right?
Like right.
We'll see that bill.
Yeah.
Because it'll be two of us, whoever, doing the review.
Right.
We're not getting paid.
Right.
So then, you know,
Megan usually would be sitting in, and that would be the only cost.
So if you wanted to look
at even, just make that 100 and leave the 50,000 when they're 200.
Yeah.
Make it 100.
It's
still within reason.
Try again.
Do these other towns have a town planner that they're paying to?
I know.
Auburn doesn't.
Chester does.
I think that's...
Well, no, Auburn does now.
Auburn doesn't have a town planner. They've got Carrie, who's the building inspector, and they've got Denise, who's there.
Auburn's paying Cam, Southern Hampshire Planning, to be there.
Be their planner?
What's his name, Porter, told me.
I'll have to ask Carrie about that on Friday.
Yeah, well, I can't remember his first name, the chairman of the planning board there.
Tim, can I ask you a question?
May have misunderstood. Let me ask Carrie.
He was a couple martinis in, so.
because they do use him for regional, for planning needs, kind of like the way you've been using Cam and Nate. So let me ask Carrie on that, because as far as I know, it's just Carrie, the building inspector, and
he might
part-time,
be thinking of their dues,
and then Denise, who is also, and Denise is their full-time
Good.
At the last meeting, I crossed off F site plan review completely, and we added the site plan review to the application for the subdivision.
Mm-hmm.
So are we adding it back in?
I'm just looking at what other towns are charging. So, like, let's say you did a major site plan in Deerfield, you'd be looking at 800 plus 2700, you'd be looking at 3500. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying we need to follow suit. I'm just saying, and we could add a site plan review. We could add the site plan review back in. I mean, we talked about pulling it out because we really don't, we don't really do it like that anymore because we're trying to preserve that 60-day clock.
We didn't pull the major one out.
Yeah, on mine, I have them both crossed
off. Oh, really?
Because the application fee, we jacked to $175 and $400.
Right, we moved those site plan review fees into
the application
fees.
Right, so I have my notes.
So I was just asking, are we backing them out now and putting it back in?
That's what I'm throwing out there. Again, looking at the surrounding towns.
But we, like we said, the builder is being billed by Stantec for actually doing it, and all we're doing is kind of keeping the ball moving here, right?
Yeah.
And so we are doing it as part of the application, and when we go through the application checklist, we're making sure that all those things are done, and we've already had Stantec doing all the stuff.
Right. I agree with what Mark was saying, right, is that in reality, we shouldn't be billing the developer, the applicant, for this board's time, right? Because that's the purpose of the board, right? And really, we sit down and we do those reviews that, you know, you've been, I think you sat in on one. And it's like usually two of us and Meg. So in reality, what are we billing?
Exactly.
You know, an hour, 2 hours worth of the town's resources.
Retired person's time.
Yeah, right.
So
you know,
the only but,
I'm sorry, Mark.
No, go ahead.
The only thing is that Megan did a ton of copying for the Diamond Road project. I'm sure, you know, copy of fees and all that. And I know,
yes.
Brian always keeps saying that we do have to
provide
some service, and that's true, but I think that some of that is recoverable.
Yes.
Do we have to charge for every cent that she, that the office makes for us? No. But I think some...
And that's kind of, you know,
oh, I know.
I'm kind of...
It's going to be mad.
You any air?
As I'm looking at this, I'm saying if we're
what
dropping...
Is there any air?
Yep, I think
yeah.
so.
If I'm dropping the site, if we're dropping the site plan review concept, right, we can make it application fee and site plan review, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
I like
but
that.
In which
yeah.
case, I don't like the idea then of being $400 and $800 because we're then dramatically cheaper even than Danville, right? Danville for a major subdivision is $375 plus $1,000 is $1,375.
Right, but is their engineering firm doing all the work ours is doing? That's being built to the
I would developer? Assume that they got to pass it by the engineering firm.
But
right, because I mean,
so
you
what is the board charging for? Like,
right, if we're just charging for having a meeting and then having a prelim where a couple of people come in and review it, that's kind of all we're doing.
I just want to kick this out here, but years ago, I believe, the planning board actually did the site review in the meeting.
Yeah. Yeah, and
you know what I mean? Instead of two people doing it, it
yeah.
was done by the whole board.
Oh.
Hmm.
Yeah, which would make the meetings a lot longer.
Yeah,
yeah. I like this.
I mean, it's nice
that's,
when
that's
a couple
that's why we
changed
it, because that expedited it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, you know.
It was good for the applicant plus the planning board.
And this may go back to the days when the planning boards actually just sat there and said, you know, looked at everything, you know, they got the drainage there, they got this, okay, that, yeah, it all looks good. We've moved beyond that now. It has to go through engineering to make sure that
oh, sure.
right.
the drainage is, mm. is correct and up to
yeah.
standard, and they've
right.
got the right kind of piping and whatever, right? It just
I do like the idea that we get rid of the site plan review fees, roll them up into the application fee.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just relabel it so they don't.
Yeah.
And it is what it is. We don't have to mirror the neighbors.
Correct.
No.
Because we don't really know what goes on behind the curtain over there anyway. So,
right.
Yeah.
So we're going
to
get rid of both
see
of them?
A resident who's just doing
yeah.
a minor subdivision get, you know, site planned or whatever subdivision and get nailed with a huge bill, you know,
right.
have to pay a large bill, and where they're just trying to make a lot for their kids or whatever.
Yeah. So... So, again, we're not going to do it tonight, but, you know, just think about, so we were saying, like, you know, 400, 450, and 800, do we want to go up a little bit on that because we are not doing the site plan reviews that the other towns are charging for?
We last time we penciled in 175, 400, so, we,
right.
so we're changing that. So,
yeah, we're going up to at least 400 and 800.
Why?
Okay.
Why is that?
Because that's what the surrounding towns are doing.
I thought we just talked about that. Like, we don't know what they're doing.
We don't know what they're doing for site plan review.
Right. The application fees
the,
are 400 and 800 in the surrounding towns.
For, like, the first column, first
yeah,
two columns.
Minor and
for
major.
Minor and major.
But instead of charging them for a review, it's all one price.
Right.
The $400 covers everything. Instead of having to say, okay, you're going to give us $175 plus... another 75 or 100, you know, it's just the $400
with relabeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Saying it's application and for
site
subdivision and review.
So you're going to say 400 for the minor?
Yeah.
I know you keep saying 450, but I like the 400.
Do you understand?
I was saying 450 because it was 500 or 400.
Yeah,
okay.
I just don't necessarily agree. But.
Okay, that's fair.
What don't you agree with?
I don't know. I just think it's arbitrarily throwing it at it in because our neighbors are doing it that way. And I don't like that mentality.
Yeah, but we already rolled. We just rolled the reviews into it. So that's still cheap
well,
money.
Yeah.
The neighboring towns, like Tim was saying, it's 400, just say Auburn, 400 and 800 just for the application.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the review for a minor, it's another 175.
So 575.
Yeah. Or for a major, it's another 1500 added on.
So it's 20.
So the 800 plus the 1500.
Yeah.
So we're not supercharging them, but we're.
Then we're not following suit.
Right.
Yeah.
So what am I writing down?
I think the consensus is 400 for a minor, 800 for a major.
And relabel those two.
Yep. Yeah, I'll write that on this here. And site plan. All right, and like I said, I'm going to, so maybe by next meeting, or you know, maybe the meeting after that, because the next meeting, I think we got the car coming in.
Yeah, the condo project.
Yeah, but we might be fine. We might be ready to go. I'll be ready to talk about it.
Oh, that's High Street.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are you talking doing a hearing for that?
We don't need to.
No, we can just do it.
It's been on the agenda twice. It just needs to be on the agenda once. And you can tell the rousing. This is twice. This is more than twice as many people as the first one. Right.
Put it this way: we spiked.
We got a crowd.
Spike Tyler.
Thank you.
Boston
Road.
So this is a lot of what we end up doing. We are the planning board, not the site plan review board.
There you go. So Tim, the next time we meet, we probably have this pretty much complete.
That's my plan. Yeah.
So we still have to get relabel mapping cost, or like what we would be charging, and
the fire department.
These are already done.
They're already
the fire
done.
Department.
The fire department.
And the fire department, right?
Yeah.
Asking.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. And so we're going to have to do like four of these.
Right. Yeah.
No, we're going to have to do four sheets and vote on the four sheets. Because we have subdivision regs, minor subdivision, major subdivision, and this Appendix C.
Oh, okay.
So it's going to be in four places. So in the minor subdivision, it would only have the minor rate.
Right.
In the major, it would only have the major rate, right? Yada, yada, yada. So we're going to have to make four different sheets.
Yes.
Yeah. So, we don't have to do, I don't know that we have to do four different votes. I think we could probably vote on them all
right,
at once.
Let's say some discrepancies.
Yeah.
Do you want Megan to reach out to the chief to check on that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So you're gonna hit up the tax assessor and.
I'm pretty sure that's who does it.
And I'm working on Stantec.
Sure.
Because I think it would be nice if they could give us a
ballpark at least.
Mm-hmm.
At least
would be reasonable to.
Right. Judge. You know, it's going to be $225. Great.
For what GIS?
Yeah, I don't know what the number is, but if we can get a number and put it in here, I'm a lot more comfortable with that than telling a developer.
Man. Yeah, we don't know. Just
we don't know.
Give it a couple grand.
Roll the dice.
Check what Stan Jack.
Right? You know.
At some point, do you want to discuss town engineer?
Yes.
Okay.
I do.
I don't know how we propose to do that, but.
I think we're done with this, right? So we can. So we'll close that part of it. Let's talk about that in a minute. Let's go to approval of minutes. So we'll stay on somewhat on topic here.
Thanks for the numbers on the side of the line.
Yeah. Learning every day.
Yeah, that helps so much.
Anybody got anything?
Nope.
They've been pretty flawless of late.
Yeah,
yes.
It's all good.
Did you find Megan what I was talking about?
Honestly, I haven't had the time. It's been so busy in there without Will. I'm sorry.
There was just a spelling error of
what mine?
I didn't write it down.
Oh.
I was going through it on my phone and I can't highlight anything on my phone.
Well, we could do a motion to accept based on Linda's edit.
Yes.
Okay.
Somebody want to do that?
I'll make that motion that we accept the minutes.
There's only seven.
To approve Linda's.
To approve Linda's when she finds the spelling error.
That sounds so
and,
shifty.
Other than that, we'll accept them as presented.
Perfect. Second?
Second.
Judy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Tim? Yes. Brian?
Yes.
Dave?
Yes.
Linda?
Yes.
And Kevin?
Yes.
All right.
When she finds it.
So that's
right?
Done. So
I
let's.
Can't.
What if she does?
That's a heck of a motion.
Like, where's my markup on my phone?
I think it's the boxable.
Well, I was looking at that. I thought, well, maybe that was just a cool way to spell it.
No, it's a name.
That's how the company is spelled.
That's what I figured.
Okay.
I know. That was the only one that jumped out at me.
Right.
Yeah, I had to Google that one. I was like, I feel like it's not spelled as we think it is.
That makes it cool.
Well, I got to tell you, it has gotten warm in here.
Yes, sir.
Luckily, we opened the windows, hey?
Yeah.
Hey, so. Hey, Canadian.
It is, man.
But anyway, town engineer. Yeah, you know, we had talked about when Brian left Stantec to do a due diligence and check for other town engineers. Unfortunately, at that exact moment,
we were in the middle of something.
Two large applications came in, and it was not the right time to be involved with doing that. I don't know how anybody else feels, but I mean, you know, I like Dan. He's a good guy. Works well with us. I'm not sure that the applicants feel the same way. But I do think it's probably smart to do a due diligence and have Stantec come in and do a presentation and get a couple of more engineering firms to do presentations. I don't know if anybody else...
Yeah, because we're spending taxpayers' money on a service, and if we're the people that hire and fire, it's incumbent upon us to do a good job with that.
And let us not forget that the legislature did just pass a law that the applicant has the right to say they want to use
their own
somebody else.
As long as they pay.
and we have the right to accept or reject that. But I would think we, knowing the state and the appeals process, that if we didn't have grounds to reject it, you know, I can't name it right now because we're being recorded, but I know at least one or two engineering firms that I would reject.
Yep.
And I would have grounds to reject them.
Yeah. Basically, like a defense attorney, we would need to have our own. We need to have our own engineering company to verify their engineering company, right?
Right. But then we'd have to pay for that, you know.
Right.
So, you know, we do have a little skin in that game now, right? That we didn't have before because of that law that just got passed. And I think it's good practice. I will put it back on my docket to try and do that unless anybody thinks otherwise. Again, from my perspective, I mean, I had a few issues on the Diamond Hill thing where I felt that Stantec kept moving the goalposts. Sat here with them, Amy, their engineering firm, and Stantec. Everything was agreed to. Yes, their engineering firm didn't do their part of the bargain. But they came back in and did exactly for drainage, exactly what Stantec requested them to do. And they wanted additional changes. And I don't know if you remember in the meeting but that we had, I said that to him. I said, wait a minute. You agreed to this in the meeting. And then,
but that's also our decision too.
Right, but then
the engineer or not.
But then the applicant just said the applicant's engineer said, "Oh, no problem. I'll just fix that." I'm like, "Well, dude, I was throwing you a life vest, you know. But if you choose not to take it, because I was going to do exactly what you said, you agreed to it. You got to stick with it, right? Yeah. You can't do that to them." But he did not take the life vest. So you know, I observed a little bit of that going on, and I don't know whether that's just, I don't know. So I think it's worthwhile to have these conversations, have them come and do a presentation, answer questions.
And I think with Brian gone, we've lost the 20 years of knowledge of the town.
Yeah. The one advantage we did get in picking up Dan is he's got like Auburn and Northwoods and stuff that he works with. So we did pick up some additional knowledge from other towns, but no, I agree with you. That was a loss for us for sure.
Yeah.
All right, anybody got anything else?
Yeah, for town planning. Just wondering if it's appropriate to get Nathan here so we can have, start having that conversation about Four Corners.
Sure. I'll reach out to Nate.
Because that 28 is coming faster than we want.
As far as the new traffic pattern and that kind of?
Yeah.
I'd like to better understand what that looks like.
Yeah.
I want to talk to Nate. We want to talk to Nate on that. And I want to see where he's at with the impact fees for
restructuring.
Oh, for school and
right.
School and what was the other?
Recycling.
28.
Also, I've got to reach out to Cam because we now have signed on the HOP2. We've signed with Southern New Hampshire Planning. It only took 6 months. And we've signed with Stantec. So both contracts are in place to do HOP2. Except Cam has continued to underwhelm, and I have heard nothing from him.
So, reach out to me.
Yeah. Me. So I've heard from Carla. I've heard from Patty, but I haven't heard from Cam.
We already know Cam is not Nate. We know that.
It's not that this puts us so far behind the eight ball because it's a 2-year grant. So it's not like we're.
We got to keep our eye on the ball.
So what's our next step? We've got the impact fees almost done.
Yeah, well, that's not part of HOP. That was
okay.
That
what
was
is?
Separate.
Oh, I thought HOP, that was part HOP. Of.
No. That okay. We paid. We the town actually paid for that out of our own pockets. Oh. Okay. So there's a few first steps. One of the first steps is Stantec to do a review of our zoning ordinances.
Right.
Yes. And you know the ordinances and the regulations. And you know, look for inconsistencies, look for problems for housing, look for inconsistencies and problems, and you know that could be corrected, and streamline it, and make it more uniform, and all that good stuff, right? And I did put $5,000 in our budget with the town for things that we might have to do that are not part of the HOP grant with Stantec, you know. Whether we can get all of it in there or not, whether there's some things we want to do, you know, like the water and the sewer handling capabilities and stuff like that, we may not be able to get in a HOP grant. But so I'm going to be hounding Cam on that as well. Either that or I'm just going to tell Carla, stop calling me, call Cam. Nobody online? Anybody got any questions? Anything?
I'm just sitting here.
All right. You got nothing else to do, dude?
No, I'm doing bedtime in about 15 minutes. I got kids at home.
But so, I'm
watching
Wonder,
all.
Right?
We're
this
always
is a lot
looking
quieter than
for
home,
alternates.
Yes.
We're always looking
for alternates.
We're always
looking
for alternates if you want to
yeah.
I mean, enjoy the
that
fun.
To a few people told me that, but.
Yeah.
Just listening, and that's all. Yeah. I already committed to coming tonight, so I'm out with you.
We always have a fun time, so.
Yeah.
And I'm not 15 minutes from bedtime, but I'm 15 minutes from.
Yeah. Tubby time. What?
He said it's always fun. It hasn't always been fun.
Yeah.
No.
But
right now, we're good.
Yeah, we're
yeah,
fun
3
now.
3 a.m.
is coming.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, my kids sleep through the night. We're good.
Yeah. Kathleen, you got anything? Are you good, or? You started to raise your hand, but no.
No, she said
no,
check out that for Marvin.
If they were using Southern New Hampshire as their town planner, I'd be cutting them a check every other week. I'm not doing that.
I
pay all their bills, so I know.
Listen, I got to disagree with you because everything I've heard sitting at the bar in the town cabin is absolutely true.
I don't know about that.
But you know, I will ask Carrie and Denise why they have that fee for their special.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm
good.
There.
Good night.
See you.
Have a good sleep.
Motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn. Second.
I'll second.
All those
no,
in favor?
Aye. Oh, what are you talking about?